Hello. Welcome to Release Your Wings. I'm Dan Bagley, and once again, I'm interviewing Shireen Chadha.
Hello,
Hi,
Dan.
Shireen. Good to see you again.
Good to see you, too.
So, here's the question, mainly for you folks watching, and that is, if there were a practice that would promote your emotional, your physical, your mental, even your spiritual well-being, what if it also boosted your self-esteem, your confidence, your resilience, your longevity, even your health? Would you be interested? That's the topic we're exploring in this session. We're talking about altruism. So, Shireen, you're kind of in the altruism business with your role in the BKs. What's your takeaway on altruism? You're for it, I assume.
No, actually, I couldn't claim any special things, but I could share some of the things I've been learning in the last few years about it. One thing is, which I was sharing actually just this Sunday with some people, is to truly be altruistic, and that is, we have to be selfless. And to truly be selfless, we have to be blameless. Not just I'm blameless, but I have to find things and people blameless. If I blame someone, then I'm kind of like a miser. Hold on. If I feel, you know, if I want to give you something, but I feel, oh, Dan is not worthy. If I keep blaming you because he does this and this and this, then I withhold my giving.
Right, right.
And so I feel like I have to find others blameless. I have to have this experience that others are blameless. And it's not just others. It's not just, you know, you have these particular weaknesses and defects and that's why I don't want to do to you. It could be blameless. You could be blaming your body, saying, I'm not well enough, so I don't want to do it. And you could be blaming situations and saying, you know, I don't have a car, or I live far away, or my situation is such that I'm not able to do. Or you could be blaming the atmosphere, saying, oh, but I don't like that particular neighborhood, or I don't like this particular situation where I, my church where I used to serve, because of the atmosphere in the church. In the church. Or you could, ultimately, I think many people do is blame God. You know, he did this and he gave me this sorrow, and why did God have to do this and why does God have to do that? And so there's a lot of that blame stuff going on in our own heads.
So I'm hearing a parallel between judgment and love is you can't, in our belief that you can't really love someone unconditionally and judge them simultaneously.
Yeah, and in this case, what I'm saying is you can't really give. You can't be altruistic until and unless you really are completely in a state, in an experience of blamelessness.
So if you are blameless, then that means you're not giving in order to get something or to assuage your conscience.
You are
doing it just for the sheer joy of being helpful, being of service.
Yes, because sometimes, actually many times, we do service and we want something back. We have desires. It could be as subtle as appreciation or respect. But we want something back. And I feel that blocks us from truly being altruistic. Because what happens is, if I don't get appreciation or I don't get respect, then I withheld.
Right. I had a minister friend once who was talking about church work. And he said, you know, sometimes I find that people do the right things for the wrong reasons. And sometimes they do the wrong things for the right reasons. And I so much prefer the latter of those two. You know, if your heart is pure, you're doing the best you can, as opposed to, I want recognition.
Yeah, I want respect.
Exactly.
Respect is a big thing, you know.
Absolutely.
Even very subtle appreciation is a very big thing. And I feel like that prevents us from being altruistic. Sometimes I feel that the service in itself brings blessings. People can ask, why should I do it if I'm not going to get it respect or something? I feel that service in itself brings blessings. And for example, if you really do a good job, right, it doesn't matter whether people appreciate or not, you will appreciate it. And that, I feel, subtly brings blessings.
Well, there's some good science behind that. You'll be happy to know.
Okay, let's hear the science.
In studies where they can wire people up, get their blood work, and monitor the hormonal changes, that the oxytocin, that's the trust, the binding, the mother and child type of love, jumps when we help someone altruistically.
Right.
More so than even the person getting helped has
yes.
it jump.
Yes.
Endorphins jump and dopamine increases. So the reward center of the brain, if we're doing it selflessly, will actually give you a payoff that you feel better about life yourself. Now, that's not necessarily the reason to do it, but it's certainly a nice thing that maybe God gave us this little system to say, hey, you're doing all right here.
Right.
I like that thought, that we are wired to be altruistic, to be helpful.
Right, right. You know, the other thing I feel with altruism is, even though, if we know the science, right,
mm-hmm.
It's easy. But there's some things that when you're on the field of altruism, that there's some things that trip us up.
Mm-hmm.
And we really have to be very aware of the pitfalls. And I feel like they're test papers. You know, they come to test us to see if we can really do this.
Uh-huh.
And I feel that you have to look at them that way.
They're so give an example of this. I have one in my head, but you go ahead.
For example, you know, in the center, right?
Yes.
They could be someone who comes and is totally mean and nasty and, you know, doesn't appreciate what you're doing and complains to everyone in the world that, you know, she's this and she's this and she's this, that you still have to give to the soul.
Uh-huh.
So what was your example?
Well, actually, it was much more on the surface. You know, I coach executives. And just earlier today, I was on. And this has been transpiring, and it's a female entrepreneur. She's just amazing. And there's a business that she probably shouldn't get into just because she's stretched too thin. But this friend says, oh, you're so wonderful. I need your help. You're the one who can save me. You can launch my company and all. And she hit all these ego buttons that I know were just making them go, oh, gosh, I really want to help, but I don't have time. You know, this is not a direction I can be that helpful on. And I'm thinking, this was appealing to her ego. And she saw it, by the way. And she was saying, you know, as much as I want to help her on this, I can give her a certain amount of time, and I will. I can give her great encouragement, and I will. I cannot give her $50,000 I don't have.
Right.
So those are the things that I see an obstacle of you're the only one who can help us. And that's a big ego hit.
Right. Or the other way, side of it is you get defamed, you know.
Yeah, you, if you don't help it, then we'll all be angry with you.
Yeah, but I see that part of it more, where you're not praised enough. And I feel for that, there's something that I feel that we need to really cultivate to be altruistic, and that is the power of tolerance.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm talking about tolerance here, I'm not talking about, oh, let's tolerate racial differences. Mm-hmm. It's not that kind of a tolerance. But a tolerance is where I'm equal mm-hmm. in praise and defamation.
Right.
I am equal in victory and defeat. I'm equal in success and failure.
And internally to yourself.
Yes. There is no difference. I am not viewing one better than the other. And if I'm able to stay in that state, then I'm able to really be altruistic.
I agree.
Because if I am getting praised by the people I'm serving, mm-hmm. then tomorrow there will be someone who's not going to praise you, who's not going to appreciate what you're doing. And when that person comes along, and if I'm taking support from this praise, definitely, I will stop doing it because the defamation will have affected me that way.
Right. So total equanimity is really no attachment and no aversion
right.
to the various pieces.
Yeah. Right. And so that's one thing that's very important. Mm-hmm. Is, and the other thing is not to be attracted to things. It's a I was talking to you before we started this, that it's a very high destination, especially spiritually, spiritual altruism, or if you really want to give someone, uplift someone spiritually, it's a very high destination, because if you get attracted to things,
mm-hmm.
then also you get kind of sidetracked.
Yeah.
And you lose your focus in what you need to be doing. So it's really important this, not to be attracted, not to have these desires, not to be looking after respect or any of those things, which is a hard thing actually, because many of us want to take support from those things.
So you're not putting gold stars on your mirror every day that you have a good session at the... So one of the pitfalls then to altruism is having ulterior motives,
right?
Judging or not feeling worthy or not feeling they're worthy.
Yeah.
Anything else?
One other thing is I feel we have to be a detached observer.
Aha, uh-huh, yeah.
There is no good and bad or almost like a preference of like and dislike. Mm-hmm. If I have decided, based on my value system, I've decided I am going to be doing this, this is my calling, then I can't have preferences with people. That's almost like a judgment.
Yeah.
But also, internally, there has to be this detached observer. Mm-hmm. Not I like this, I don't like this, this one's doing this, that's one not doing this. Mm-hmm. What is this one doing, what is that one doing? All of those things, I feel, are that detached observer, where I'm just... very equal in
so
the way I look at things.
Let me take the feedback question, though. You're doing one of your sessions in the BK room where you've got 20 or 30 people there, and some are falling asleep. They're really not getting it. Maybe even snoring. How does that affect you? Not that it ever happens.
It's
maybe too hyper.
All the time. I usually... try to stop the session very gently, like ask them to have a conversation or something and go and ask someone next to them to wake them up or something. But many times you can't do that. If you're in the middle of a meditation, you just let them sleep.
Mm-hmm. And snore.
Yes, and snore. We used to have these couches at the back of the room, and people used to do that all the time, so we took the couches out.
Good. But that is, at feedback, though, what I'm hearing is you will make adjustments even though your ego isn't attached to the adjustment. I might laugh
yes,
at it.
Yes, I have to make adjustments because I am not being fair to the other people in the room. The snoring is affecting the other people in the room. It's not just me reacting to it.
Yeah.
But I have to respond because everyone's time is very valuable, and if they have come sincerely to learn, then I'm not being fair to everyone.
So that was the point I wanted us to make sure we understood, that we're not talking about just everything is always hunky-dory no matter how badly it's, you know, the house is on fire, but I'm not going to mention it because that would be rude. No, we will take care of needs, but it's mainly how our heart is open, I would think. And,
right.
And not we're not addicted to an outcome. Or too mm-hmm. attached to
right,
an outcome.
Right, right. Not too attached to an outcome. There is an affirmation I use mm-hmm. to for altruistic thing, and I feel that affirmation really works for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that affirmation is almost like a meditation. And before I start a session, before I am talking to someone, and if it's really I feel the person needs help, it's not just I'm going and talking to them.
Sure.
But if I'm in a position where if I really feel they need help, this is an affirmation I give myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a child of God, the Supreme Soul, the Beloved One. The person I'm talking to, or the person, whoever, or the receiving end, is also a child of the Supreme Soul. And I am an altruistic server.
Nice.
And so when I tell myself that I'm an altruistic server, then automatically the qualities of that come in.
Got it.
And when I also acknowledge that I'm a child and the other person is a child, then the qualities of God come in and they do the work. So I don't take responsibility or I don't take credit for what's happening.
Got it. In our last less than a minute, what are some of the service components you do in the BK Center, you and others in the BK Centers? Because service is actually a demonstration of altruism. You hold meditation courses.
We hold meditation courses, positive thinking, different aspects of meditation, how to self-respect, self-management, all of those things, and values and virtues and spiritual powers. And so mostly it's a spiritual program.
Mm-hmm.
We many times used to do, a while back we used to do things with the media and stuff, but mm-hmm. not anymore.
Yeah. Well, good. This has helped me understand it a lot more. As a non-BK who has, I can feel it when I'm in the center and around you folks. So altruism is a way of life with the BKs.
Thank you for saying that, Dan.
Well, it is a sincere, non-altruistic statement. just an observation. Thanks, Shireen.
Thanks, Dan.
And thank you for joining us. Goodbye.